It's a pleasure to welcome Bill Murphy back to the show. Gold Antitrust Committee, GATA, 20 years with Chris Powell exposing the gold market manipulation. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Great to have you. And you know, big news coming from China. They upped their gold reserves, evidently, to a proven 12,100 tons of the yellow metal.
Seems to be there's a lot of misconception about this from what I know anyway. What they said was they have 12,000 tons of gold in the ground. It doesn't say that that's for their gold reserves and comparing that to the United States. Entirely different issue. What makes it different is that no central bank, as far as we know of, has ever gone out and stated what they have in the ground, but it's not in part of their reserve.
No, you're exactly right. It's proven in-ground reserves. I should have made that clear. The key takeaway is they have plans to accumulate as much of the yellow metal as possible. We've had some folks here on the show have speculated, like Dr. Lieb, that it may be between 20 and 30,000 tons. We know there's the largest consumer and producer of the yellow metal, finally surpassing India. So they're kind of neck and neck there in those categories. And it's also difficult for them to export gold. They like to keep it within the Great Wall of China, if you will. Moving on, though, you know, the FOMC, we're going to have, it's a lock on a rate hike in the December meeting, that quarter point bump up in the overnight lending rate. What does this mean for the yellow metal? Anything, or have they already discounted it?
And the whole thing is sort of silly in my book because look what rates have done since gold topped out in 2011. And they went down to zero and to negative. And what did it do for gold? Absolutely nothing because of the rigging. It should have. It makes sense why it's a big deal in the sense of low interest rates and cost of carry for gold and all that kind of stuff. But it means nothing. It's just whatever the gold cartel wants to do. So theoretically, it could be a negative, but it's already in the market. And then at the same time, it doesn't really mean a thing. There's so many other factors that, you know, are more important in the sense of what the gold price is going to do.
Let's get into some of those factors. I've got a few here, bullet points. Let me let you start to run down your list.
There's so many, really, that over the years, that, you know, look at the U.S. debt. We can't even get a budget. Nothing's getting done in Washington whatsoever. Nothing means anything. I mean, we've had three major hurricanes, devastation, and a fire that's probably as bad or worse than the hurricanes, and nothing matters. The stock market stays where it is. The gold price is held in check. Silver has been worse. But basically, the reasons to own gold and silver are off the charts. And if I might say, look at what Bitcoin has done with no manipulation involved. $5,200 an ounce. And good for them, but that's the kind of thing gold should be doing if it wasn't for the gold cartel.
Exactly. Cryptocurrency thing we continue to watch. I've got some pretty solid evidence for the next stop at 7,000 on BTC, if we don't correct. Cliff High has made a remarkable case for 13,000 plus in the next 4 months. And now I received a message from Peter and his lovely wife saying that they're talking now in Europe of 26 to 28,000 for Bitcoin. And, you know, this is just right in line with that venture capitalist in Silicon Valley, Tim Draper. You know, he's kind of a low-key individual, but he started his own university, and he was the first one to call for 50 and 100,000 Bitcoin. Back on point here, you know, I'd like your thoughts on Dennis Gertman. You know, he's not really known as a gold bug, but he announced that the Bank of International Settlements is attempting to suppress the price of gold.
Well, I happen to like Dennis. You know, he's always, you know, he gives us a lot of grief over the years, but he's a good guy, and it's interesting that he would come out with a statement like that because he's very establishment-oriented. And Chris put out even Frank Holmes, who's very establishment-oriented, talking about central bank intervention is the only reason the gold price isn't much higher. So, I mean, it's when you look at what other assets have done, and this is one of those other reasons I left out. I mean, you look at how pitiful gold and silver are at today's prices. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And if you compare it to other assets, gold and silver should be doing what Bitcoin's doing.
That's what we believe is inevitable. But I suspect that what we're seeing here, it's really a watershed moment where the institutions were caught flat-footed by the intricacies and nuances required to accumulate Bitcoin. They can't do their typical schemes which makes it a really compelling story, because I listened to Rob Kirby. You may be familiar with his work up in Canada. He's really delved into the crypto thing. But he also realizes, well, we're going to have to live with this thing. It's going to be around for a while. So let's investigate it. And of course, he's a huge metals buff. But he points out one of the interesting aspects is that the powers that be can't find a way to corral it, to control it, to create paper money schemes around it, the virus, the epidemic, the outbreak, the way that they have with the yellow metal and silver. Because they know that gold and silver are the barometers. They are the telltale signs of what's coming with inevitable inflation and hyperinflation. They can't do that with Bitcoin because of the ledger-like system, you know, the triple accounting system involved in the blockchain. And so he makes just a clever case for the precious metals will catch fire again as they become coupled with the blockchain phenomenon, which is already going on with 1 gram and ICO that's about to go public, and they give you 1 gram of ounce per token. And so as these things take off, he sees unbelievable demand. But also wanted to move on to your thoughts on silver. Cliff High and Rob Kirby, both mega fans of silver. I'd like your thoughts.
I hope Rob's right. All I know is that we don't know how the gold cartel, led by J.P. Morgan and silver, has been able to keep the silver price down here, where they got all their physical supplies from. I have my theory. We won't get into that now, but we're hoping and expecting the supply to keep down at these pitiful prices. And if you go back, silver was able to get to $50 in 1980, and it's the cheapest thing in the world, and in terms of an asset or a commodity. And, you know, I've said this on your show a number of times, even over the past 6 months. I think once silver can break through 21, it can go berserk and actually trade a little bit like Bitcoin has. You know, maybe not quite that dramatic, but I think, and I know Cliff feels the same way, it's going to become very volatile at some point, and the offers are just going to dry up, waiting and waiting for this to occur, and it could come in at any time.
And I'd just add to your thoughts on this. We consider here Ethereum to be the silver to Bitcoin's gold. I remember when I was first mining Ethereum just about a year and a half ago, it was at $9. And we thought, oh, this is a ridiculous price. It's run up tenfold. You know, what could it do now? In the blink of an eye, it was at 50. Now it's at 300. If we just stick with the parallel, in less than a year's time, Bit Silver, let's call it, Ethereum, shot from $9 to $15. Sound familiar? To 300. There really could be that moment, you know, where you cross the threshold in the next 12 to 24 months.
No, I just hope you're right about that comparison. I think, as they said, gold and silver are so cheap. It's all because of the bad guys, the gold cartel. And they're due for some kind of explosive move. There's no reason for them to be down here except for the manipulation, price suppression, and hoping that with all we've discussed here today and what's going on in the world, that they're just going to take off out of nowhere.
You know, one other thing here, I brought this up to my guests this week, the same topic. Clearly, we see mutiny, if you will, away from the greenback. Firstly, we read recently that China, and I put this in quotes, is trying to compel Saudi Arabia to exchange oil for their new, you know, yuan gold. We think this might be big. And then Venezuela announced yesterday its preference for the ruble and yuan over the greenback with energy trading. Well, look, Russia, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's a trifecta. If this mutiny continues, what might that portend for gold and silver?
Well, obviously, I mean, it's related in the way that if the dollar gets hit, goes into the tank, it's going to obviously help gold and silver, and it'll could be a tremendous factor. And we should get an idea about what China's going to do next week, because they have their five-year Congress thing and that they do, and that's usually when they make certain statements about what their plans are. So if some of this Chinese dollar stuff and oil or whatever is going on that's been talked about is for real and going to happen, we ought to know sometime after the 18th when that their big meeting gets underway.
Your targets are roughly 21. If we can cross 21 on silver, look out above. What about for the yellow metal?
I don't know if there's as much a key point as there is in silver. I suppose 1,400 would be a big deal for gold.
And, of course, we'd like to see it back to its former 1900 and change highs in short order, you know, following the break of the 1400 to 1500 resistance area. We've been building up some steam, you know, for the past 2 or 3 years.
That's a good point. I mean, you've got tremendous long-term basis in gold and silver that can propel both precious metals to much higher prices from a technical viewpoint. I mean, there's a lot of power being built up or having been built up in both markets.
Please tell people more about La Metropole Cafe as well as Gata.
Go there and sign up for a two-week free trial, see if it's of value, and then go to Gata.org and get on my colleague Chris Powell's list and see if they enjoy what he puts out. So, again, we've been doing this, as you said, almost 20 years, and I can't wait to win the day.
The only thing I'd point out is that the XAU last week did find a floor, at least find its footing, relative to the bullion. I think we've had an orderly retreat, at least in gold, over the last month. It's what I would expect on a false breakout. It's just more winding up in a complex inverted head and shoulders. It's just waiting for that tipping point. Bill Murphy, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.